It is Wednesday, May 24th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, British police believe the Manchester bomber was part of a network.
I think it would be very surprising if this individual was discovered, Salman Abedi was discovered to have acted alone.
U.S. President Donald Trump meets Pope Francis at the Vatican, and singer Selena Gomez has a new single and a new relationship. It's all ahead. British police said Wednesday it was clear the suicide bomber who attacked a concert in Manchester did not act alone. Manchester Chief Constable Ian Hopkins said during a news conference that a network was involved. The suicide bomber has been identified as 22-year-old Salman Abedi. Hopkins said police had at least four people in custody as police conduct raids throughout Manchester, though he would not confirm whether police found the alleged bomb maker. Raffaello Pantucci is the Director of International Security Studies at the Royal United Services Institute in London. I asked him whether he agrees with police that the bomber was part of a network.
I think it would be very surprising if this individual was discovered, Salman Abedi was discovered to have acted alone. I think if we look at the device that he detonated and the sort of level of sophistication and training that would have gone into the preparation of it, that suggests that he's had contact with someone else somewhere along the way. In addition, if the stories that he's just returned to the United Kingdom from abroad a few days ago are true, it would confirm that, because it would suggest it would be unclear that he would have had enough time to do this all by himself.
Now, apparently, Salman Abedi was known by British intelligence services. He had a background in, his parents were from Libya. There have been reports, I don't know if this has been confirmed, that he spent some time in Syria. Is it possible that there was some oversight, or was this really understandable that authorities, you know, hadn't paid perhaps a bit more attention to him?
I mean, I think the problem is that, you know, there are lots of people that fit. We don't know for certain that he's into Syria, though it wouldn't be surprising. The fact of him traveling to Libya, he is ultimately of Libyan heritage and his parents live there, so it's not abnormal for him to travel there. I think the question is, when you're looking at security agencies and the number of people that they're looking at, they have a range of people. They have incomplete information on all of them. And the question is, they have to prioritize within that which ones to focus more attention on at any given moment in time. And, you know, getting that prioritization right is very difficult with an incomplete information picture. So I think the difficulty comes into understanding why the choices were made not to focus on him versus focusing on others. And that is something that's very difficult for an outsider to know, because we don't get to see the entire intelligence picture.
And what about connections to Islamic State? You know, there's been discussion in the past over whether attacks were inspired or actually directed by Islamic State. What could this look like?
I mean, at this point, we don't really know. I mean, certainly if we are looking at an instance where we have an individual who received a bomb he went and then detonated at the target, then you're looking at a cell which has at least two people involved in it. Now, whether this is Islamic State or Al-Qaeda or someone else, at this point, it's unclear. All we do know is that Islamic State did release a message about this operation in which they appeared to claim it, but their claims in the past have been somewhat scattered. And in some cases, they claim things that is not clear with them. But in other cases, they haven't claimed things that were quite clearly them. So I don't know that we necessarily can interpret a lot from that.
Well, meanwhile, Britain has raised its terrorism alert level to critical. And I believe there are soldiers will be, in some capacity, replacing police officers. I mean, in the UK, is it noticeable today that security has been tightened?
So, I mean, I work on Whitehall, which is right opposite where all the government departments are, where Downing Street is, and just down the road from Parliament. And certainly it was noticeable that security around Parliament was tighter. There were police and security in a heavier presence, and there was soldiers going around in uniforms, you know, with guns, which is something that we don't usually see in London, quite frankly. But I think the key point to think about raising the threat level to critical is the reflection of the fact that authorities are uncertain that they have total sight of the cell. But it's also worth pointing out that over the past few years, when it has been rated critical, it has been in the wake of successful incidents. And it's basically a measure for the authorities to give the police greater latitude and give army greater latitude to be able to operate in the homeland, something that is usually not really permitted. And that theoretically helps sort of put more resources towards dealing with the problem, as well also as doing a sort of public assurance job.
Raffaello Pantucci, Director of International Security Studies at the Royal United Services Institute in London. Joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. So, Andrew, I'm sure there's continuing reaction on social media to this story.
And I think there'll continue to be reaction for the coming days and even weeks. Today we're hearing more about the bombing suspect Salman Abedi and learning about where he came from, people trying to piece together his backstory to try to figure out what the motive was behind this attack, how it was planned, who else might have been responsible. And we're also hearing more information about the victims. Many family members and friends are using social media to release their names, confirming their deaths, and people mourning their lives on social media as they find out just intricate details about these people. There was a young man who was a blogger who was well known for doing recaps of the British television show Coronation Street. And so a lot of Brits remembering him and other victims as we learn more about them. And there's a lot of fear around the world on social media. As one person pointed out, in just the past 2 days, we had the explosion in Manchester, an explosion in Bangkok, a car bombing in Syria, and then today a suicide bombing in Jakarta. So lots of terror happening around the world that people are very on edge for. The other big trending story today is President Trump and Pope Francis meeting at the Vatican. The one picture going around on social media has Donald Trump, Melania Trump, Ivanka Trump, and the Pope lined up. And Donald Trump is smiling ear to ear, and the Pope looks, as people have said on social media, miserable, saying that's telegraphing how the Pope felt about that meeting. But lots of people looking at the gifts that they gave each other and saying that they're very telling, particularly Pope Francis giving Donald Trump his encyclical on climate change and the environment, saying that that was a way for him to push that issue in kind of a gentle way with the president. And then as President Trump proceeds on to Brussels, lots of talk about his previous comments saying that Brussels was a hellhole. Now that he's in that city, we'll see how that reaction continues on social media. And finally, May 24th today is the 76th birthday of Robert Allen Zimmerman, or as he's better known to everybody in the world, Bob Dylan. Oh. So he's celebrating his 76th birthday today, and social media is celebrating him, putting up clips of their favorite songs, of the lyrics, and as Bob Dylan said, if I can write a song, I'll sing it. If I can't sing it, it's a poem. So lots of people noting those quotes and those pearls of wisdom from one of America's great singer-songwriters.
And just got that Nobel Prize for Literature.
Yeah, too. So he can do it all.
I guess he can. All right, thanks a lot, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. U.S. congressional panels are issuing new subpoenas to former Trump national security advisor. Tunnels at the U.S.-Mexico border show smugglers' deep commitment. Moody's cuts China's credit rating down one notch, and Pakistan says India fired at UN observers in Kashmir. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Early in 2017, NASA announced the discovery of the first known system of seven Earth-sized planets around a single star. The septet of exoplanets was found orbiting a dwarf star called TRAPPIST-1, located about 40 light-years away. A team of astronomers led by researchers at the University of Washington in Seattle say they found the system's outermost planet, TRAPPIST-1H, in their predicted location. Using data gathered by NASA's Kepler Space Telescope, they also confirmed a year on the exoplanet lasts only 18.77 days, and its orbital path happens to be coupled to its six sibling planets. Since it's so far away from the already cool star, TRAPPIST-1H is cold and probably uninhabitable. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, martial law is declared on the island of Mindanao in the Philippines. U.S. President Donald Trump's visit Wednesday to Rome brought parts of the center of the ancient city to a grinding halt, infuriating some locals, but acting as another spectacle for tourists to absorb. Views about President Trump on the streets were decidedly mixed. Jamie Detmer reports for VOA.
As Pope Francis welcomed President Trump to the Vatican for their first ever face-to-face encounter, Ava, a devout Catholic from Boston visiting Rome and the Holy See, expressed relief that the meeting had even taken place.
I think it's fabulous that the Pope decided to meet with Trump.
The leader of the Roman Catholic Church and Trump traded pointed exchanges last year during the US presidential campaign, with Trump accusing the Pope of allowing himself to be used as a political pawn by the Mexican government on the issue of migration. The Pope responded by questioning then-presidential candidate Trump's Christian faith, saying his plan to build a wall on the border with Mexico had no basis in the gospel. Ava said she hoped the meeting gave the pair the opportunity to make peace.
I hope they were reconciling with one another with respect to how they were quite adversarial in terms of what was said during the campaign, the Pope saying certain things and Trump saying many things. And I hope that they reach some sort of a meeting of the minds on several issues.
The Vatican expressed similar sentiments in a statement issued after the meeting, in which it said the encounter had been cordial. It went on to say it hoped there could be serene collaboration between the US government and the American Catholic Church, including, it said pointedly, assistance to immigrants. Trump received a tribute from the Swiss Guard in a Vatican courtyard when he arrived. A Vatican protocol official was heard by reporters quipping to the president that it was not like Trump Tower in New York. Pope Francis smiled at Trump when he greeted him and First Lady Melania Trump, but some Vatican watchers say he was not as outwardly friendly as he can be with visiting dignitaries. The Pope, however, joked with the couple as they left. Outside the Quirinale Palace, the Italian president's official residence, where a small crowd, mostly of tourists, gathered to catch a glimpse of Trump in the distance down a closed avenue, 50-year-old Rania, a Danish banker, said she did not really know why she was waiting.
I really don't know, because we will not any time come so near a president, because we don't like Trump.
She added,
I hope he'll disappear soon.
A young Canadian couple, expressing fears of terrorism in Europe in the wake of this week's concert bombing in Manchester, England, was more welcoming of the US leader. 22-year-old Samantha, a travel agent, gave her reason for wanting to see Trump.
I've just been a huge fan of him. I think he's, you know, he's real and he's unlike any other president we ever had.
Her 19-year-old boyfriend, Daniel, who works for a Canadian airline, said he hoped Trump's visit would help Europe become more stable.
We hope he can bring some more stability, because Europe's been quite unstable for the past year or so, and even more than that. So, you know, we can hope he can bring more stability while also keeping things peaceful and not escalating things too much.
Nearby, a middle-aged British couple, sweating in the sweltering heat, said they'd only stop because the road was closed. The husband declined to be interviewed, explaining gruffly he did not like politics. Jamie Detmer for VOA News, Rome.
In the Philippines, President Rodrigo Duterte has declared martial law on the southern island of Mindanao and vowed Wednesday to deal harshly with the terrorist threat following clashes between troops and militants of the Islamic State in the mostly Muslim city of Marawi. Mr. Duterte said martial law could last a year. A military spokesman said people will notice increased checkpoints and more soldiers, but he said he believes the conflict will end soon. Asia Foundation Philippines analyst Stephen Rood tells International Edition's Victor Beatty, the problem of Islamic State is serious and growing, as the militant group appears to be branching out across Southeast Asia.
The Philippines is being brought more and more under their gaze, and they're trying to figure out how to make it happen in a more coordinated fashion. This incident was sparked by the fact that the man that ISIS designated as the emir of those in the Philippines, had moved over to the mainland to link up with the Maute group, and that's why he was being pursued in Marawi City, which is near the heartland of the Mautes.
How many militants are we talking about, and are these fighters, have they been driven out of conflict in Iraq and Syria?
In the first place, there aren't really many Filipinos in Iraq the way there are Indonesians. But we have an estimate of up to a dozen foreigners in the Philippines. And it's not clear whether they came from Syria and Iraq or if they merely come over from Indonesia and Malaysia. Part of what ISIS last year urged people to do was that if they couldn't go to Syria, they should go to the Philippines.
What will the state of martial law do regarding the law and order situation in Mindanao?
Mindanao has got a wide range of conflicts, including it being the heartland of the communist insurgency, so that the president has been trying to do negotiations with some groups and armed opposition and pursuit of other groups. This gives them a much freer hand to suspend the writ of habeas corpus, to go in looking for people with less court oversight and the like. It should be said that in the new constitution of the Philippines after the overthrow of the dictatorship in 1986, the courts do have a role in saying whether or not this is justified. If somebody brings a court case, they can hear it at the Supreme Court. But in the meantime, in the southern Philippines, in Mindanao, for instance, arrests could be without warrants, and there would be no recourse to habeas corpus.
That's Asia Foundation Philippines analyst Stephen Rood. This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
This is International Edition. Well, this popular singer has experienced health problems and relationships with two prominent music stars. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with her newest single.
Selena Gomez is going to be releasing a dance album sometime this year, and she's recorded a couple of new tracks and slowly been releasing some new music. Selena's 24 from Grand Prairie, Texas. She began her career when she was only about 8 on a children's TV show called Barney and Friends, and then moved on to the very popular Disney show called Wizards of Waverly Place. And most recently, she's been in the news a lot because of her relationship with The Weeknd. They seem to be inseparable, and she has been very supportive and very devoted. They went to the Met Gala together, weren't afraid to show their affection in front of everybody, including the cameras. They were at the Coachella Festival together. They couldn't be separated. So they're going along very well. Of course, everyone remembers about a year ago or so, she was in a very much highly publicized relationship with Justin Bieber, which a lot of people believe is the inspiration for her new song, which I happen to like a lot. I like this song a lot, so we're going to check it out. Brand new music from Selena Gomez. This one happens to be called Bad Liar.
I was walking down the street the other day, trying to distract myself, but then I see your face. Oh wait, that's someone else. Trying to play a coy, trying to make it disappear.
Okay, well, with a title like that, I guess you might say that could be about an ex.
Absolutely. She could be drawing on her experiences in the past. Selena Gomez, very popular artist for a number of different reasons. She's great with charity. You know, she's an ambassador for UNICEF. She's very giving of herself, gives of her time freely, involved with a lot of different organizations. She's on the cover of the latest issue of Vogue magazine. She's the most followed celebrity on Instagram. 120 million followers, more than anybody else.
That's fascinating.
More than Beyonce, more than anybody. And so very, very popular artist. Just bought a new home in Studio City, California for $2.5 million. And she also is producing a Netflix TV show, which is very popular, called 13 Reasons Why. And you'd think because she's an actress, why isn't she starring in it? She chose not to. She said, it's based on a book, and she said, I didn't think I could do the role any justice. So she figured her best contribution would be in the area of producer. So the show's doing well in the ratings. She got an American Music Award in November for Favorite Female Artist. And in fact, speaking of awards, she has won an incredible 15 Teen Choice Awards. So I love everything about Selena Gomez. I love her music. I love her style. She's been battling lupus, which put her into rehab two times in the last couple of years. She was in earlier this year, and she said it causes depression and anxiety and other symptoms, and she needed some help, so she checked into rehab. The video for the new song, Bad Liar, features her in a bed, looks like a hospital bed, might be a hospital bed, and she has a bracelet on which says RISC. And this is usually a bracelet that they associate with suicide patients or mental health issue patients. Her photographer who took the pictures, who shot the video, said, no, don't read into anything. Don't read into that. She's just trying to demonstrate that, she is a person who needs help. And she could be any person, maybe not herself personally, could be any person who is in need of help. The new song is called Bad Liar. We don't know the name of the new album or when it's coming out, but she says it's going to be a dance album.
Is she on tour?
She hasn't started a tour yet. I'm sure shortly after she releases the album, or at least another single or two, to kind of get people excited and interested in the new album, I'm sure then she'll probably announce a tour.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings. The music of Selena Gomez brings our show to an end. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In a landmark address in Riyadh to Arab and many other Muslim leaders, President Donald Trump called for a coalition of nations who share the aim of stamping out the plague of extremism and providing the next generation in the Middle East with a hopeful future. Starving terrorists of their territory, their funding, and the false allure of their craven ideology, President Trump said will be the basis for the terrorist defeat.
But no discussion of stamping out this threat would be complete without mentioning the government that gives terrorists all three, safe harbor, financial backing, and the social standing needed for recruitment. It is a regime that is responsible for so much instability in that region. I am speaking, of course, of Iran.
President Trump noted that from Lebanon to Iraq to Yemen, Iran funds, arms, and trains terrorists, militias, and other extremist groups that spread destruction and chaos across the region. For decades, he said, Iran has fueled the fires of sectarian conflict and terror.
Among Iran's most tragic and destabilizing interventions, you've seen it in Syria. Bolstered by Iran, Assad has committed unspeakable crimes, and the United States has taken firm action in response to the use of banned chemical weapons by the Assad regime, launching 59 missiles at the Syrian airbase from where that murderous attack originated.
Mr. Trump urged responsible nations to work together to end the humanitarian crisis in Syria, eradicate ISIS, and restore stability to the region. He also pointed out that in addition to the havoc the Iranian regime has helped wreak throughout the region, the Iranian regime's longest-suffering victims are its own people.
Iran has a rich history and culture, but the people of Iran have endured hardship and despair under their leaders' reckless pursuit of conflict and terror.
President Trump urged all nations of conscience to work together to isolate Iran, deny it funding for terrorism, and pray for the day when the Iranian people have the just and righteous government they deserve.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.